All set? Okay, so I will call us to order for this Drainage District meeting discussing Drainage District 20 in our role as Drainage District Trustees. First item on the agenda is presentation of annexation report and commissioner's report on reclassification for Drainage District Richland 20. Kent?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to kind of combine two things here. First, I don't know if you remember when the original hearing, we discussed annexation and reclassification. That was approved to go ahead with for annexation of additional parcels. There and in this book, called Annexation, there's areas that are shown on a plat, color-coded, that lie outside, that lie within the red line, which is the watershed of the district, but outside the dashed line, which is the existing assessment schedule. So these lands within the watershed have water that drains to the facilities of the district. And this is a modeled watershed. I don't know if you can bring up our flow pass map. That's also in
here. I think Rick's probably there already.
Yeah, are we here?
The second page or
the fourth page.
It looks like a heart.
With the capabilities of your printer.
Circulatory system. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Human circulatory system. But it just demonstrates drop water falls on an area, the flow path that it takes to get to the outlet of the district. Of course, the outlet is clear at the bottom, and there's a blue line there that indicates where the open ditch is that we're improving. How familiar, Loris, you kind of get in on the middle of this, if you're familiar with what the project is, really?
Right. They did sit in a couple of meetings before. This is the one with the railroad,
right?
Correct?
And we're extending the open ditch to replace the tile and going underneath the railroad.
Putting in a culvert instead of a...
With a culvert.
Right.
Instead of the tile. And we've got a signed agreement where the railroad has finally signed the agreement to say that they will pay for that.
Excellent.
Required by the code of Iowa.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's just a little different in dealing with going from a tile to a culvert. Now, once it's a culvert, the law is really, really clear.
Yes.
Prior to the railroad signing it, I wasn't convinced that it was completely clear that the railroad was going to accept responsibility for paying for the initial installation of this culvert. I'm glad they are.
Yes, we all are. And I think it saves $330,700 that would be paid for by the landowners in the district.
Right.
Good job for you and Jessica Reynolds, right?
Yes.
The two working on
Jessica
that?
Jessica was very helpful. So these areas in pink here are the ones being annexed. The other unique thing here is we actually have two drainage districts. There's an interior sub-district called Drainage District 20A. So we annex, if you go to back to your annexation map, the second map is a blow-up of the areas that are again within the watershed of 20, Drainage District 20, but outside the assessment boundaries. That is color coded there. That's a blow above that area.
Mm-hmm.
A little more complicated right there. Then if you go farther farther back, there's another map, because there's a separate schedule for, and there was a separate schedule for Drainage District 28. And 28, it had the boundary being dashed. The dashed line was their assessment boundary. And that's, Rick, if you're looking for that.
Yeah, where is 28?
Well, it's in the small.
You're going to have to get to the annex of this that book up here. The areas outside of 28 that should be assessed for that lateral tile, which is taken care of.
Fernald. Not a town, but yeah.
Used to be a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's generally where we're at with there. And in the front here, we talk about the code of the board may adopt them without petition, resolution necessary for annexation of those lands. Acres being annexed into the 20 Richland, 22.42 acres being annexed into Drainage System 28.
with that, I plan to have that hearing right before the reclassification hearing, trying to combine some things here to save some effort and money. Doing so has to be at least 40 days from today to set the hearing for the annexation. Essentially accepting the report and setting the date for the hearing for the landowners of the district.
Just to clarify here, you said we have to have an annexation hearing first.
Yes.
But then we can open that, have it closed, and then go right into the reclassification?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's my thought.
Well, but you need to do the annexation first because it impacts what the reclassification
is. I understand. I would ask you the same day.
Absolutely.
So that we can.
And talk to me for just a minute about the lands that are within the drainage district that are not being served, surface-wise at least, by the facilities. So your red line has two things. It has some areas that are outside the drainage district and some areas that are inside the drainage district but not within the watershed. So talk to me about that.
Areas that are saving.
Right here. So your red line is the watershed. But we've got areas that are within the drainage district that are not within the watershed.
Yeah, and they will not be on the schedule.
So they're still in the drainage district, but not on the schedule?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
They will be.
So they're receiving no benefit, is what we're saying.
They're not receiving any benefit, and will not be on the schedule, and will not be charged anything for this work.
Okay. And they have been traditionally for any work that's been done in Richland 20.
Yes, I don't know how much. I didn't examine the existing schedule to know. But yeah, they are now be dropped off the schedule because they're not receiving anything. And we will go through the process of what those benefits are for those of you that aren't familiar with that process here.
Okay.
understand that question.
Yeah.
Since 20A was already a sub-district, how much of the residents are all paying for the project we're doing? Anything?
Yes. Because they benefit, because their tile line drains to eventually the main open ditch. They are at the far outside edge, and we will show that on these maps as to what some of those assessments will be. I think a lot of them probably will be good.
They are small.
They're small.
Because of their size and where they are in relation to the project. But as Kent stated, as we get more further into this, that becomes more apparent. Also, we do have the reclassification schedules that do have the what everyone's assessment for those
would be if we approved it all the way through.
Correct.
Yeah. So they're essentially in both.
Yeah. They're essentially a separate schedule that. It's like the other branches, any other lateral branches that are in the district. Only they are called 20A. Rather than Branch A, they're called Drainage District 20.
Right, but somebody in Drainage District 20 does not pay for work that's done specifically in 20A, but somebody in 20A pays for work done in 20.
That is correct.
Yeah.
They would pay because they're on branch. They're on the east four.
They're in 20.
They're on it,
but they're also in 20A. Right. If you are in 20A, you are in 20. But if you are in 20, it does not mean that you are in 20A.
Correct.
Say that again.
I don't know if I can.
If you're living in Pernal, you participate in any work we do on 20A.
Right.
Or on 20, the full drainage district. If you're living out in 20, you don't participate in what happens in Pernal.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
If you look where Pernal is up in the upper right-hand side, their water drains to the east floor. Okay.
Right.
So they paid for work that was done on the either the east fork, the
open ditch,
east main open ditch.
Okay.
Or the main open ditch. However, they do not pay for the west main open ditch, which is the majority of what this project is.
Okay.
So are we splitting this then into branches? Right now,
absolutely.
20 is just one district.
And
with 20.
Maybe getting ahead of ourselves here a little bit. We'll go through this when we get into the reclassification.
Okay. All right. So right now your one is to accept the report.
Yes.
Okay.
And set a date for the hearing.
What day of the week is April 11th?
Tuesday. Yeah.
That would be an evening.
This is going to need to be an
evening.
Right.
Right. Okay.
And if the 11th doesn't work, the only thing, it doesn't say we have to do it on the 11th. It says we have to wait until at least the 11th.
Yeah. It's the fourth Tuesday of the month that I wanted to bring up before, when we're all done with all of this, and just, you know, bring up for Scott that ends up being bad for me.
The fourth Tuesday. The 11th will not be bad.
The 11th is fine.
11th
yeah.
For you? Okay. All right. So, in that case, I would take a motion, if anybody's willing, to accept the annexation and commissioner's report and set April 11th at 6 p.m. here for our public hearing on reclassification.
I would move that we accept the report and also that we set a hearing at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, April 11th, here in the public meeting room.
I would second that.
Got a motion and a second. Discussion. That covers all three things that we needed to cover today, right? Any discussion before we vote on it?
Just a question to Scott. Scott, do I need to amend it to say set the hearing on annexation followed by set the hearing on reclassification? That's two separate ones.
Yeah, so you could say set the hearing on annexation and reclassification.
Yeah.
I so amend my motion.
Second that.
All right. Any further discussion or clarification? Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes April 11th, 6 p.m. in this room, which is the public meeting room in the administration building for Story County, is where we'll do the public hearing. Ken, what else do we need to know today?
Next, I'd like to go over this reclassification and the process we went through to put together the reclassification report. You guys asked trustees of the district appointed commissioners to help with the reclassification, determine the benefits received by all the individual parcels within the district. Dave Anderson was one, and Brad Brooks was the other, as well as myself. And we met, what date that was exactly, it was a week or two ago here in the courthouse. Went over the process as well as seeing if anything was looked out of line by them. That's part of the process. We put together the technical information and they as commissioners review that to see if these numbers that we prepare look reasonable. This district had one schedule prior to this process, and so anybody within the district paid. Work was done on the far corner of the district, everybody in the district paid. Even though they may not even utilize that facility, they paid. And this process takes care of that by providing separate schedules for each separate facility. The main open ditch, the west main open ditch, the east main open ditch, the west fork tile, the east fork tile, all laterals, including sub-district 28, essentially this So the process that we're, and Tyler's going to explain here later, and I apologize for not introducing Tyler Conley, but our office is very instrumental in preparing a lot of this information for this class, as well as the organization. So the same process was done for each of those separate facilities. We'll get into that a little more. But first, the factors used in general for reclassification are benefited acres. What acres do you have in the district? Certainly those areas of the far side of the district, we don't take that whole 40 and consider that in the district. Only those acres that are within the red line. Wetlands. What is your need for drainage? Do you call it that you need to drain? Certainly soils that are muck and heavy and low, Okoboji type soils need drainage more than hills at the top with Clarion Webster's and those types of soils. And they have a lower factor, those ones on the hill have a lower factor than those Okoboji type soils that are lower and need drainage. Proximity to outlet. How close are you to the facility that we're examining? If you're at the far edge again of the district, you need to get your water to there, to the facility. So you have a lower factor than those people right on top of the facility. They don't really have to do anything. Just put an intake or whatever to get their water to it. It's actually a ratio of the length of their water, it's actually a ratio of the length of the facility they use to the total length of their water takes to get to the outlet. That's mathematically how it's calculated.
Okay.
And it's based on those flow paths that we showed.
Yeah, so how far a water from your piece of ground, how far it goes, and how much of that is within district facilities and how much of that is not within district facilities.
Yes. And the facility use factor is how much of the facility do you use? Certainly those at the very top of the facility use all of it or most of it, and have a higher factor due to that than somebody at the very bottom. They don't need that. They don't need to pay for all that. That's that facility above them. They just need a small portion. So their factor is much lower. And runoff factor is also considered. Runoff is the amount of water that you cast or runs off your property. Ag land is considered a one. Roadways, gravel roadways have like 1.3. Hard surface roadways have a 1.6 because they shed more water. And even railroads, in this case, they have a railroad, so their factor is 1.3 as well. So,
but a wetland would be less than one.
Correct.
Less. That is it in a nutshell, and Tyler's going to go much more in depth on this, and we're going to probably kind of run through this rather quickly, but gives you a better idea of what how the process we went through. We'll do the same thing with the landowners when we have the hearing, probably in a little more depth, make sure that they understand.
Absolutely.
Once they understand, it takes care of a lot of the questions or objections that you may normally see when they don't recognize or see, I don't benefit from this as a common. But this, as you explain the process and they understand it, it takes care of a lot of that. Turn it over to Tyler.
Thanks, Ken. All right. What I'd like to do is go through those color-coded maps that we've handed out in a little bit more detail, kind of to outline the reclassification process. To start, the very first page, and the one that's displayed up on the board, and Ken, I'll have you kind of page through this as I go.
Use the arrows here?
Yeah, just the left and right arrows to move. This very first one that we have displayed is the DEM, or the Digital Elevation Model. It is the grounds for which our reclassifications are all performed. It's based on LIDAR data that was thrown to the state, plane from the state, shot a laser to the ground, measured how long it took that laser to reflect back to the plane. You get an elevation data accurate to approximately within a foot is what it's advertised. This map displays elevations ranging from the reddest reds being the highest highs and the bluest blues being the lowest lows and everything in between that just being a range. And that is what builds our water model. But before we get to that, the second bit of information that our reclassifications are built off of, then on page 2 of that packet, is the U.S. Soil Survey maps. This is a map of all the different soil types and the areas that they encompass, displayed to our factor for wetness, ranging from high, low, wet, and swamp. Highs being your driest soils or the least drainage needed soils, and swamp being your wettest, your highest need for drainage. All displayed on this map. Now that
so low numbers, like the, I see a 20.
20 is your high. 20 is high.
Yeah. It's ground that does not need drainage quite as much.
Okay,
the 100 would be a swamp if we didn't do anything.
Thank you. Okay.
Right.
And if you turn to this, I didn't go through that in very detail, but if you go to, like...
It'll tell me that in here.
Yep.
Oh, right. I got it. I found it in page 4.
Right, and the methods of partial reclassification. Right.
Thank you.
Okay. And what we're trying to get to is how much any piece of ground actually needs and uses the drainage.
Okay. This is tying in with Scott. Was right after I got elected, Scott was very helpful. I went to him and he spent, I think, an hour with me. So thank you. This is now connecting with what he had said also.
Perfect. Okay. So, Where we move from here, then, is where we get our very first factor, our wetness factor by parcel. That is a weighted average of all of the soil types in your parcel relative to your area, weighted back to the parcel to get your wetness.
Yeah, so make sure, this is really important, so make sure that they get, this is taking the map we just looked at with all the colors and how that relates on average to each owned parcel that we have,
okay,
which is how you get to that overall number for that parcel.
Every factor gets brought to a per parcel unit, and this is the very first one of those. Now, moving on, now we get back to our water model that Kent had gone over earlier. This is essentially, if you were to drop a drop of water anywhere in this district, how it gets from where it is to the outlet. This water model is based on the DEM, the Digital Elevation Model, and displays on this map purple flow paths. The flow paths are the locations where water has transferred into shallow concentrated flow. So from being just drops of water to the ground to actually flowing in a visible path. That is what those purple lines represent. Each one of those purple lines also has associated with it one of those smaller gray polygons within the watershed. Those are catchments or sub-watersheds of the larger watershed. They are the areas that the reclassification has been cut into that will then be taken to the parcels.
Okay, and if I could clarify here, I see a lot of gray lines.
Yep.
that seem to feed into the magenta line.
Right. Each one of those flow paths has a catchment, one of those gray lines,
right,
associated with
okay,
it.
Okay, super.
So, yeah, so if the water falls within the gray circle, right, within the area surrounded by the gray line, it goes to what you're saying is the magenta line. The magenta line that you're seeing is where the water will actually gather to flow.
Flow, thank you.
Okay, right. But it's coming from the area within those gray lines that you're seeing.
Okay, because the gray lines, I guess they do connect. Okay.
Right, they are all little...
Right, but don't see that as the place that the water's flowing. That's if the water falls on one side of the gray line, it goes to this magenta line. If it falls on the other side, it goes to that magenta
line.
Correct. This water model also incorporates all the facilities of the district as well as any other paths that water can take, such as culverts through roadways or through private crossings.
Okay.
And it also, if there is no path there, will block water, which is why you've now seen portions of the district be removed that you had called out earlier, Rick. Being in the district, I would wager at one point that road was built up, no culverts were put through it.
So now it holds everything on that
side.
Now all the water
east
flows to the other, flows to the west and not into the district. Just a quick assumption then. I'd actually like to jump a little forward because these maps, because of the length of the main open ditch and how short it is, it does not do the display very much justice. So I ask that we skip forward to where we get to the first branch facility. So go on a little bit further until you see the west falls. There we go.
So it says, should be labeled prox factor per parcel?
No, we're actually going to a little bit further.
Oh, there we go.
We want to see land actually fall away. Right there.
Thank you.
All right. Now, as Kent mentioned earlier, this same process was run for all the facilities in the district. Now, the reason I skip here is because it makes the color palettes a little bit easier because the facilities are actually a little bit longer. And actually, this one's probably not going to do it.
Because the east isn't very long either.
Go to the west.
Yeah, actually. Because this one's actually probably going to be worse.
moving or continuing to page forward.
It just has to do with the facilities being so short in these areas that it makes it difficult to see the color patch. Now we'll be talking about the west main open ditch, which is just long enough that we can start to see some of the color patterns. But again, we can start with, and we're back to our wetness. This is the wetness factor again, all per parcel.
Wet factor, okay.
Yep. So then if you would like to skip forward one more page, we are now to our facility use factor by catchment. So how much each one of these catchments uses the facility. As you move from the outlet further up the facility, you can see down at the bottom there, it moves from a green to a yellow to an orange to a red as the amount you use gets higher, all the way up to your reds, which is the ones, or essentially the 100% use of that facility. So all the lands here in red use 100% of the improved west main open ditch as it is set to be constructed. So, from our use per catchment, very much like our soils, then on the next page,
let's stop right here for just a second and explain the difference. So, somebody in that far northwest corner is a one, and somebody all the way down at the top of the new open ditch is a one, and that's because they both use 100% of the open ditch, even though one of their water has to go a lot further to get to the top of the open ditch. They're still all participating in 100% of the open ditch.
Of the use. Whereas once you get down to where we're actually the open ditch is, those properties that line it or feed into the ones that line it, they're not going to use every single
The 0.52, theoretically, is halfway down the ditch, so I use half of it.
Exactly.
And this is probably specified that this, everything we're looking at here is unique to this project.
Mm-hmm.
Once we go past this project, all these people that are ones will not be ones anymore because it'll be weighted for each little piece of each little branch of the tile.
Right.
The only ones for this.
Right. It is just for this facility. This that I'm explaining is just for this facility. It only holds for this facility. Once we get to a different facility.
Right, but this would be true if we went in and we did some work on the west open ditch. We would see this exact same ratio for any work that's done in the future on the west open ditch.
Correct.
Yeah. So just to jump forward with you, Scott, then, so if we were to go further down where the two ditches, where the west and the east connected, and we did work down there,
applies to everybody. That is the first set of maps that don't do the color
palette. If they can remember, we'll see this once it's all in place and projects complete, and you can go to the house and you can go there somewhere, then it might best keep on working with that.
Right. I got it.
And some of these people will be wanting to see them will be
Okay,
thank you.
So, then the next page, we take this use per catchment, and doing a weighted average, we bring it to a weight use per parcel. So then you can see all the parcels that had catchments in them that were ones are now all a parcel that has a one, whereas the parcels down here that contain some of those other use factors now have a weighted average for their use per parcel factor. The next factor we have then is our proximity to outlet, which is essentially how close to the facility are you, again, by catchment. So you can see here on these maps, the catchments that sit right on or adjacent to the facility have higher proximity factors. And those that have to utilize different facilities or different means, some district facilities, some private, to get to that facility have a lower proximity factor because they're farther away. Not as close. All based, again, on that water model. That then also gets brought to a per parcel factor, all weighted based on the catchments within that parcel. And then the last factor we have is actually not here displayed again. It is earlier in the packet because they don't, the factors don't change by weight for this one. It is the runoff factor or the land use factor. And
this is part of the problem with skipping forward. Yep, right here.
This is your runoff factor, and I won't ask you to go back to it in your books.
Right, it's mostly ag ground, which is all weighted as a 1 anyway.
It all gets weighted as a 1. Everything gets compared to ag land based on how much water you shed, how quickly. As Kent said earlier, hard surface roads get a 1.6, gravel roads get a 1.3, railroads get a 1.3, and rural residential that has lands that are covered by more than 50% hard surface will also get a 1.3 runoff. They shed water faster than their agricultural.
And it's only because these rural residentials are separate parcels. If they're part of a larger parcel, we don't separate that out and consider that. If they're just a separate parcel, parcel just for the residential houses or whatever, that is when it's considered, and only if their runoff area is more than 50% hard surface.
Okay. And Rick, as you stated, if there were wetlands or impoundment areas, that would be less than your ag. But I don't believe that was the case on this district. All right, that concludes the facilities. Now we're back to where we were in the packet. All of those facilities get taken times one another to
all those factors.
Right, all the factors multiplied together get your units of benefit, or the numerical value for how much you benefit from this particular facility. The units of benefit are used to calculate the classification, meaning that every unit in this unit of benefits gets divided by the highest unit of benefit, taken times 100 to get a percent, and that is your percent classification, which is on the next page.
Now, let's do that one again,
right,
so that everybody gets that. Okay, so what you're looking at on this map, and this is units of benefit on the west ditch.
That's the map.
Okay. The parcel that is right at the end of the tile, of the west tile, that feeds all the way into the open ditch is the one that's going to get the most benefit from this by the time you factor everything together.
Yeah,
it actually makes some common sense, right? All that whole water that's coming from above right now is ending up on that piece of property, and by us improving that west ditch, it's going to help that person at the very bottom of the tile line before it gets to the west ditch the most, but they're at, what, 1860-something.98. Is their total benefit, but then they automatically, since they're the highest, they go to 100.
100%.
100, right.
Exactly. And then everybody else is compared off of whatever is the highest.
Thank you.
And it is called a percent, but that does not mean percent of project costs.
Right.
The 100% parcel does not pay 100% for the project. Everyone is, it is called a percent because everybody is compared to the 100%. So if you had a 50% classification, you would essentially pay half of what the 100% class pays.
And I think that got started years ago when they didn't have the GIS and computer methods to determine.
So really that percent is just a hanging on of old classification methods.
They found it easier to determine which parcel has the most benefit. and then compare other parcels to that parcel.
But that's where we get down to how this impacts a landowner per acre, right? Sure. Somebody who has the 100, pay, so there's this mythical cost per acre that's hanging out there. Somebody with 100 pays that mythical cost per acre, and everybody else is a percentage of that mythical. And I hope I'm not misstating that too badly, but...
Well, and actually, as we move forward, because the net gain actually after your class is then your class per acre. So that takes the acres out of it, and it makes it more easily comparable to neighbors and parcels that may not be the same size, maybe on the edge and are getting a little bit cut off. But you get your class per acre, and then after that is your assessment per acre.
We haven't gone to that map yet, have we? Or no, that's going to be where you get into the...
flip one page and you're going to get to the classification.
I've got units of benefits.
Yeah, now you're going to
get
to
the
classification.
And then you're class, and now class per acre.
Okay. Thank you.
And so you can kind of see the colors. The colors help you visualize, you know, as you get away from the facility. Those really at the top of the facility are benefiting the most. The West Bank open ditch. As you get away from that, they don't have
at the top of that facility, but closest to that facility, right? So the top of the West Main open ditch, even though that's not the top of the drainage district, is the parcel that's going to benefit
right.
the most.
Right, and that's because their proximity is high, their use is high, they have full acres, and comparatively, their wetness
is usually wet too.
They're usually pretty wet too. So.
But that's and sometimes that wetness can throw it off a little bit if you've got a parcel over here that's wetter than that one. That might have the.
But you are correct. That is typically at the very top end of your facility is typically where you find your 100. Now the next map is then the assessment per acre. This is your per acre cost of the project costs to date, including engineering damages, finance. A little miscellaneous to round the numbers a little bit. And that is that assessment dollar amount is also what is in the commissioner reports that we have handed out, displaying approximately what every landowner will have to pay for this improvement.
Okay.
Now, those numbers aren't final.
These costs are, keep in mind, there's going to be three schedules that will be levied. Only three. The rest are for future maintenance and repairs.
Right.
The three that will be levied will be the main open ditch, the west main open ditch, and the east main open ditch. These are estimated costs based on what we know at this time to our best estimation. So when comes time to levy, you can levy either 95% or 105% of the schedule as those final costs are known.
So the last map we have is just the total assessment dollars, brings it back to what each parcel of land will be assessed approximately.
For the West Main.
For the West Main open ditch improvement. Now, this process was run for every facility, every main tile, every branch, as well as drain tile 20A. As Kent stated, only three of the schedules will actually be levied. So they are the only ones that have actual assessment dollars in them. All the other ones, simply for display purposes, were run at $10,000. Now, that is not anything anyone is being charged. It is just for a display purpose. So if somebody comes in asking where did this $10,000 come from,
it tells you that if the district spends $10,000 in that area in the future, what their portion would be.
Exactly.
That's right here.
On, It is both.
Thank you.
It is in both locations. The $10,000 is in that the assessment or the commissioner report, as well as on the maps. And then as we, as you kind of continue and thumb through the remaining maps, you can just kind of
right.
Yeah. Now this is the start of the process all over again. We start with our reviews, but in this map, we are actually, to conserve on paper, displaying the west Tau Fork and the east Tau Fork on the same map. But you can see right down the middle of it is that watershed line that divides them. That's the ridge that divides the water that flows to those two facilities. But the process essentially is being run again just for these two facilities. So you get your use per catchment, you get your use per parcel, your props by catchment, your props by parcel. And actually, if you want to go back to the props by catchment, I kind of like these are, this I feel helps really display a proximity factor. When you get a much longer facility such as these, you can really see how the reds and the higher numbers are concentrated right along that facility. Whereas as your water takes longer flow paths to get there, you get a lower proximity factor. And those are kind of hard to see unless you get a facility of this length. So then we go through again. I don't believe we've redisplayed wetness, even though that is used again. It changes so very slightly based on your acres that it's not really worth displaying again, but it is used, as well as your runoff factor. It is used again, we just don't redisplay it. So that is then the west and east main tiles, essentially. And then as we move through and get to past the assessment, now here you see the branch tiles that have all been...
Tyler, I'd like to stop you.
Yes, go ahead.
So I make sure. Three schedules are going to be levied, and each parcel owner will only get the numbers, the factors... for one of the three levies, or will it be the main main open ditch plus either west or east?
Correct. Right.
No, I asked an either or, so I need a...
Your second one is correct.
Your second,
thank
you're
you.
Right. Your second one.
The main applies to everybody, so everybody's going to participate in that. And then the west or east branch of the open ditch only applies roughly, not half, but kind of half of each of the district. You won't, so if you're in the west, you won't pay for anything done on the east, but you will pay for both what's done on the west and the main.
Okay, thank you.
And all engineering costs and everything like that is at the mouth, the very bottom, the main of the drainage district, and that's shared throughout.
We actually split currently what we've based these numbers on. We prorated those costs to all three.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Depending on which part of it you were working on. That wasn't true for what you did in Marshall Story, right?
Right.
Okay. All
right.
Get
one
there.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right. Okay. Well, and the last thing I'll bring up here is now you can really see the portions of the district that have fallen away because now we're just dealing with the branch facilities. So you can see the lands that will then be associated to those facilities from here on out.
In the future.
And no one else will be paying for maintenance or improvements to those facilities because they no longer use it.
Does that say use factor per parcel? I think I've caught up with you.
Because we're just going back through the, because the whole process just starts over again.
Yeah, and so as we sit here today, 20 only has 20A as part of it, which is demonstrated on this map up there at the top. But when we're done with this process, if everything is approved, we're going to end up with multiple, three others in addition to 20A. We're going to end up with three other branches.
Well, there's going to be...
Call them B, C, and D.
There'll actually be 11 schedules.
Okay.
So, and the front part of this book kind of describes that.
Plus 20A.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
So we're going to have a 20A and a branch A? Really?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Not. We'll just have the...
There will be a 20A schedule and a branch A schedule.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm just worried about the confusion of there being a 20A and a drainage district 20 branch A.
I'd like to meet some of the people that named this stuff.
But it seems to me that we have the ability to name these, what we currently have listed as A, B, C, D, and E, anything we want to name. Right? So if we want to do away with the confusion, it could be 20A and then start at branch B, C, D, E, F. Could it not?
Here we have listed what we have. I think it becomes clearer when you see there's the main open ditch, east main open ditch, west main open ditch, east tile fork, west tile fork, branch A, B, C, D, E, then drain tile number 20A.
Okay.
Which is actually drainage district 20A.
Okay.
And I would have to ask a drainage attorney for naming conventions. I think if we wanted to do that, I think I would have suggested doing that at the original hearing.
Yes.
Rather than at this point.
So I would just ask, Darren, you and Scott are the ones who are going to be working on this thing longer term. I'm just concerned that this is already confusing enough. It is really confusing if we have a drainage district 20A and a drainage district 20 branch A. I'm saying that there is real potential for confusion. And this, like I said, this is already confusing enough.
Well, Scott, you're really going to be directing who pays what and what schedule rules.
Yeah.
You find that confusing?
They have a tile group that goes out and they submit claims, and so those claims will be for branch C versus 20, or branch A versus 20, something like that. If you're going to rename them, you have to rename 20A and put all in there. Just name them to everything else and put all
20. Sure. I'm completely good with us doing anything. I'm just concerned about the 20A and the branch A in the same place.
I don't know that it... I don't see it as being that,
okay,
that confusing. I think it might be more confusing if we change it now.
Okay.
It'd be my concern.
All right, we're double or nothing on that whole railroad bed as to whether this is ever
okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay.
So, that is the reclassification project in done rather quickly. As we stated, we'll go in much more detail with the landowners. Probably have to answer more questions, just be more thorough and transparent with them.
As I wasn't paying attention, did you guys already approve this reclassification report then in that previous motion?
We did.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep. The rest of this was informational for the board serving as trustees. This is a process that I was absolutely dead set against, and Kent remembers it pretty well. I was dead set against this until we actually went through it one time, and as many moving parts as there are, it actually is kind of poetic the way everything fits together and makes sense at the end, where I can look any landowner in the eye and say, if you really dig into this, you're truly ending up paying for the portion of this that benefits you by going through all this. And so I've turned into a big fan of this, while it is really, really confusing to get through.
Yeah, it's a little complicated, but again, the GIS methods, I think, help that. Computers.
Yeah, tired of your presentation.
Thanks.
Really in-depth when we do this on the 11th, because we're going to have some... I mean, some people are writing some big checks for this,
right,
and they're not going to be happy about it. I want them to at least understand how impartial and fairly this is assessed. And you guys do a good job of that. Any questions before we close this thing down?
Just another comment: that work is and has been proceeding on the main open ditch. They're approaching the end of the ditch. We're going to have a construction meeting to get the jack and bore in place soon. All we need is a right of entry agreement now. Like, that should be a matter of days.
What's the time frame once they get going on the railroad? on putting the culvert in?
I'm not sure exactly. I think the right of entry agreement is holding that up. They want to get in, get it done. I think that should happen within a month or two.
Okay.
Certainly before, well, we're at March 1st already. I would think by planning time they should have that board and
that's my hope
in place. And I know the landowners are certainly hopeful for that as well.
Yes, they are.
Okay, I do. First of all, is this available in electronic form?
Yes.
Okay. I really feel at least this part, when we go into that April 11th meeting, should be posted with the notice. The meeting notice, I mean, because then this allows people to look in advance to see what the factors are. Also, I'd like to be emailed one before then. I'm an electronic person. I try to save as many trees as possible, which leads me to the rest of these items. Are they available to be mailed to the supervisors electronically?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'll make the request.
Generally, we get these electronically, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I generally spend.
I'll get an electronic copy.
Yeah.
So I'll have people and.
Sure.
Okay.
Super.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Anything else?
No.
Take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
For adjourn. Be back in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Excellent. Glad to be here. Is that a full agenda?
Not terrible.
Yeah.
Not terrible.